Today's episode of the Outlep F1 podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy business, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment, and within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with our promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. And now, off to the episode.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 52 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. I'm your host here, as always, John, and you've got a special show tonight. Well, I don't know if it's going to be special, but it's going to be something. It's just going to be me tonight, so we've had a crazy week in the world of the Outlap F1 Podcast, so everyone's doing all right, but schedule's a little bit of conflicts this week, so I'm taking one for the team, for lack of a better term, and trying to run with this tonight, so hopefully you bear with me. Before we get started tonight, just a quick reminder, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and yes, YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, please do us a solid and click like and subscribe. The like buttons especially go a long way to helping us, you know, kick into the algorithms in the YouTube nation or into the YouTube world. So it goes a long way to help spread the show out to other listeners that haven't discovered us yet. So we appreciate that if you do us a solid. As always, you can email the show at chatnow at outlapf1.com. You can find our beautiful website, www.outlapf1.com. And if you're brand new to the show, or brand new to F1 for that matter, we have an F1 for Beginners 2021 edition. And that's Season 3, Episode 6, as Andy puts it. We go through all the nuts and bolts of F1. Try to give you a little bit of more of a layman's terms of the technical terms that you might hear during the broadcast. And you can believe that we'll have a 2022 edition coming out in just a few months, honestly, because it won't be that long before the season gets started. As always, if you're going to your next, you're going to your first Grand Prix next year and you want to check out kind of our experiences at COTA, kind of our likes, our dislikes, our lessons learned, because there are certainly a few of those. You can find that at Season 3, Episode 47 as well. And as always, definitely check out Relapped with Deanna. She's got two awesome videos this week, one from the sprint and one from the GP, live from the couch. So she tried a unique setup this week. I don't know if she liked it or not, but we got to see, you know, one more glimpse of her 600-square-foot New York apartment. So it was always fun for that. And then Outlap F1 Nation, thank you so much. We've had so many people that have given us support, and we can't thank you enough. It means the world. It helps keep the lights on. Like we've said before, you know, we don't take anything out of that. Everything goes back into the show as far as you know, video equipment and recording software and editing software and you name it. So we appreciate all the help that you guys can give. If you're interested in that, there's a link in the show notes. If you can do $1, $5, whatever, you know, floats your boat, we certainly appreciate that. So, and lastly, again, the holidays are coming up. Don't procrastinate. As James will tell you, the world of logistics and freight and everything else is an absolute clusterfuck at the moment. So do not delay if you have interest in buying your holiday gifts, especially if it needs to be shipped. Definitely check out our partners, Manscaped. They make all the best men's grooming products in the world. It's the incredible products. They feel amazing in the hand. They're well built, and they make good stuff. So definitely check them out. If you're interested in that, you can use our code OUTLAP. It's OUTLAP, one word. You can get 20% off plus free shipping, and they're pretty much shipping to the vast majority of planet Earth. So definitely check them out. All right, so let's move on to the news. We had a few items this week. The biggest and most controversial one, of course, is coming out of Brazil, is that Mercedes, I think they're trying to get a little payback from Austria a couple of years ago. They have put in a request for a right of review following the release of the video of Max Verstappen's onboard from lap 48 in Brazil, you know, where the both drivers go wide. And yeah, you guys all know the rest of that. Rachel Fleming said we got a few listener questions this week. So hers this week applies to this. Says, hi, guys. Do you think that the stewards would do anything about what happened in Brazil? I know Mercedes are arguing that Bottas could have gotten second if Max got a 5-second penalty, but it did look 50-50 to me, and maybe the best interest of the sport is to let it be. I don't know if I want to rehash this one or not. I'm obviously very biased and passionate on one particular side. I, as you guys know, I'm a Verstappen fan as well. Lewis is obviously my number one driver, but I personally didn't love the move, but I don't know where we go from here, honestly. You know, I don't really like retroactive penalties, even if they benefit my boy. I really don't like that approach. Now, according to the F1 website, they're listing Bottas as finishing within 3 seconds of Verstappen. So I think Max actually kind of slowed down on the front straight. I'm curious to see if that number is correct, because that's certainly a 5-second penalty would certainly bump Verstappen down to third, which would then change the championship down to 11 points, if I'm not mistaken. So for the sake of the health of all that listen to the show, I'm just going to leave it at that. I know that Deanna, James, and Andy talked about it a little bit. You know, I think they all agreed it's a little bit of a dicey move, hard defending. I think if Max stays on track, I think it's not even a talking point. The fact that they both went 20 plus feet off track, what it looks like, there may be something there, but I don't know. Honestly, in the world of F1, there's really no consistency from week to week. So the fact that the stewards did not even investigate it during the race, they noted it, but did not further investigate at all, tells me probably there's nothing going to come out of this. But who knows? Again, we saw this in Austria a couple of years ago with Red Bull presented the FIA with an onboard camera from Lewis Hamilton's car when someone went off in front of him. I think it was in qualifying. There was a double yellow. Hamilton claimed that he couldn't see it because of the dust storm, but there was a shot, a frame from the onboard camera where you can clearly see the flashing light board that was yellow. They used that. They presented it to the FIA, and the FIA docked Hamilton multiple positions and took away the pole position. So it can happen. It has happened before, and I guarantee you that Mercedes would love nothing else to repay Red Bull for that kind favor that they did at Austria a couple of years ago. And they happened to do this. They submitted it on Christian Horner's birthday. I'm sure that was purely coincidental, but it's all in good fun. So we'll see what comes out of that. We've got a hell of a good battle regardless of what happens. 14 points or 11 points, it's all to play for at this point. So especially between, you know, 7 points between first and second, potentially depending on what you do with the fastest lap, it's all to play for. So yeah, we've got all kinds of good stuff there, so just stay tuned. I don't want to dive into it too far and decide, you know, say personally if I feel like they should or not. Because again, I'm biased and I'm trying to not be biased in this situation. I've had a few days to calm down from it. So, but anyways, we will certainly break it to you as soon as we hear something. Supposedly we may get a decision before Qatar. But it's, you know, Wednesday. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. The next big news, which I think is really no surprise to anyone, unfortunately, is that Giovinazzi is out. And the $30 million man, Zhou, is in. You know, this has been rumored for a long time. If you listened to Giovinazzi's radio after Mexico, he was clearly not happy with the strategy that they presented him with. And, you know, made a sly little comment there on the radio, like right after crossing the finish line. So I was like, he probably knows he's on the way out, because it's just, you know, I don't see him saying that if he's not already, you know, gotten the boot. So then there was some reports of I guess some banners perhaps in China somewhere that when you translated it said something about Zhao, you know, Chinese driver, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think that there was any question that this was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. So yeah, with $30 million, I mean, money talks, guys. But honestly, Zhao's, he's a good talent. You know, I don't know if you want to consider this him a pay driver now because of the fact that the $30 million probably heavily contributed to him getting that seat as opposed to some other drivers. But it's not like he's not a Mazepin. You know, he is actually a very talented driver. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out between Bottas and Zhao. I hope for Bottas' sake that he's deemed the number one driver. But as you've seen it, Haas, you've seen it AlphaTauri, you've seen it where the pay driver is considered the number one driver. And obviously Aston Martin, you know, with Stroll is considered the number one driver there, even though you've got a four-time champion in the other seat. So, yeah, the yellow bars and black T bars and all that fun stuff have gotten a little bit more complicated over the last few years. But I hope for Bottas to say that he's definitely deemed the number one driver. I mean, you know, you guys know I don't love the guy, but he is definitely talented. If he gets out front, he can show that he can drive off into the distance. Not the best overtaker in the world, but again, I think having a car hopefully built around his driving style will help him tremendously moving forward and help him to find some success. The next one is the latest on the McLaren Audi rumors. As you guys probably saw this week, there was a report that Audi had officially bought McLaren, and that was going to be their bid into Formula One. McLaren officially came right back out with a formalized statement and basically said this was hogwash and that there's absolutely no truth to this. Things have been flying left and right. I thought it was a little bit weird because obviously Audi is owned by Volkswagen Group. It seemed a little bit strange to me. Like, why wouldn't Volkswagen buy McLaren if that was going to be the case? And then move them under their umbrella and then use that, you know, proprietary information in the intellectual property to then just rebrand what's currently there on the F1 side as Audi or whatever they want to do, or Porsche or whomever. It seemed a little weird to have a subsidiary purchase McLaren. So that was kind of the first one that was a little bit of a head scratcher for me. But anyways, at least at the moment, there's nothing there. We'll see. It's not the first time that we've seen, you know, team principals or teams come out and say, no, this is complete BS. And then a week later, it's confirmed. So who knows? And then lastly that we had this week, something that everybody wants to talk about is the sporting director, Steve Nielsen, says that the Saudi Arabia track is, quote, up against it and, quote, will come down to the wire. Yeah, I know that Saudi Arabia, you know, the track organizers released some photos this week and made it look like they were like 95% there and it was looking all phenomenal. And then there was some other stuff that came out on Reddit and Twitter, people in the area that said that's BS, that, you know, this thing still looks like it's in crumbles or shambles and it's got a long way to go. I don't know what happens. Again, I think my theory, again, is that we will race there. I don't know if they'll have all the grandstands done or anything like that. I don't know what's going to happen. We know it's going to be greasy as all hell. It honestly might be a dangerous track, to be honest with you. There's some sim racing onboards that came out this week, and it's a wicked track. I mean, that's back to sector there. We're just weaving left, right, left, right, left, right. I can't even fathom doing that on a track that's going to be as dusty and as greasy as this, to have no rubber laid down, have, you know, fresh tarmac, which means all the oils are going to rise to the surface. It's going to be sketchy as hell. You know, if we thought Turkey was sketchy last year, this is going to be a whole other level of sketch. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's never a good sign when they say, quote, you know, up against it and, quote, come down to the wire, when they have to certify this thing in like 18 days or something like that. So stay tuned. We will definitely keep you posted, to say the least. So let's move on to the listener questions. Again, thank you so much, Rachel Fleming, for the one about the Mercedes Verstappen situation. Maverick, hopefully I'm not butchering that, asks, with the tides changing seemingly in Mercedes' favor, how can Red Bull turn this to their advantage? A new ice, better strategy? honestly, they've been doing about everything that they can possibly do to win this championship. And I've said before, and I know the homers will, or the, you know, the haters will get me on this one, but if there's anyone other than Lewis Hamilton in that Mercedes car, I think they would have already sealed the deal, maybe even as early as COTA, at least on one side or the other. So the fact that, you know, it still was a battle and it's still coming down to the wire is just a credit to both these guys. But I honestly don't think Red Bull hasn't done anything wrong. They got beat last week, just on pure pace. We'll see, you know, if they feel confident that the new ice could match the Mercedes level, then sure, maybe they would consider taking a grid drop. But again, when you're talking about there's 7 points between first and second, if you think Hamilton potentially going into Qatar may win that race because of the insanely long straightaway, I don't know if you really want to start behind him and have to chase him back down. I don't know. Especially, it's a lot of unknown. I don't know if we're going to get a lot of overtaking at Qatar. You know, as you guys know, it's a MotoGP track. It has long, flowing, high-speed corners. There's really not going to be any real heavy braking zone. Even turn one is going to be like probably their best chance for overtaking. And I think even that's going to be, I think most of the moves are going to be done. There's going to be, it looks like one DRS straight on the main straight there. And I think most of the moves are going to be done before they get to the braking zone, honestly. So, and it's also going to be really curious. I mean, we've never been there before. F1 is going to have to try to be really creative on when that DRS zone kicks in. Because, you know, obviously too short, then you got zero overtaking, and too long, you know, and the guy that's trying to defend has no chance in hell of keeping that position. So it is a very fine balance there. And I'm sure they have, you know, a gazillion data points to look at and to try to get a pretty good guesstimate there. But, again, going back to the question, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think they've done anything wrong. And there's a lot of twisty bits in Qatar, and it's probably going to be pretty greasy. It may not disservice Red Bull as much as we think. It may be very similar to Brazil, where, you know, Red Bull had, you know, the pace in Sector 2, but it was just the long straightaways where Mercedes had the dominance. So with, you know, the majority of this track being on twisty bits, you know, Red Bull might not be that, may not be that much slower than Mercedes and what we think. And it may be actually pretty evenly matched. Who knows? It may even have a slight advantage there. So they've always been able to run less downforce and still be as fast in the twisty bits as Mercedes have. On a greasy track, again, I think that may benefit them. Yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting, but yeah, I don't think they can do it. I think right now, with three to go, I think at least coming out of Qatar, I think your best bet is just run your normal strategy, in my opinion. You know, Max has a really fresh motor in there. It's not like the thing is worn at all. It doesn't, you know, it certainly Mercedes looks like they've come on more power. But the other thing here that hasn't been confirmed, there's been a lot of rumors that supposedly Hamilton may be taking another engine at Qatar. You know, everything that's come out is that Mercedes are absolutely pushing the limit of this motor and have zero plans of it ever lasting, you know, 6 races, 7 races, 8 races, like you would have to on a normal ice, that they're pushing it to the extreme, knowing that it may only last a couple of races. So there's a high probability that they take another engine penalty in Qatar and, you know, again, push this motor to the absolute max, give it everything it's got, and screw reliability, screw longevity, screw multiple races. Let's just throw it in there. So maybe Honda can do something like that. Perhaps, I'm sure it's being talked about, is just throw it to the wind and see who's faster. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting weekend. So I appreciate the question there. And then lastly, Uncle F1 says, with the weather looking pretty mild in the Middle East climate, who does this favor with regard to tire degradation in an unknown green as heck track? So kind of similar question to Maverick or Maverick there. I still, honestly, I think it's going to be pretty balanced between the top two. I think you're going to see Max and Lewis that are going to be, you know, pretty damn close to each other. And I think you're going to see Perez and Bottas pretty damn close to each other. If you're talking about tire deg, I think obviously, you know, the best in the biz right now probably is Perez, with Hamilton being just a a tad drop down there. But honestly, Max has shown really, really well this year in tire deck, especially if he can get some clean air. So, I think from a tire degradation, I think you've got a little bit of advantage there, Red Bull. But we'll see. If you drop down to the next big battle, there would be McLaren and Ferrari. On paper, and I said this a couple weeks ago, on paper, I still think that this favors McLaren, even though they've struggled the last few weeks. Ferrari look incredible right now. There's no denying that. So, but I do think that it's going to be interesting to see. Ferrari has primarily been really good when it's been hot and when there's slow speed, twisty corners, a lot of stop and power out type corners, which this track is not going to have any of that. So if I had to put money on it, I'd put a little bit more on McLaren there. But again, it's Ferrari's pace has been pretty damn phenomenal. So, don't be shocked if those two line up pretty closely as well. So let's drop the green flag real fast. And again, we're not going to do any predictions this week just because of the insanity of it. So I guess maybe it's like Spa and I get a free pass in the predictions challenge, perhaps. I won't mind. I'm holding on to a slim lead there. Deanna's kicking everybody's ass right now and just charging her way up through the field. So I got a target on my back and she's coming quickly. So maybe it won't hurt me to miss it. We skip a week and bring it down to two. Who knows? If things settle down, we might do some off-channel, throw some times in there and see what happens just for fun. And we'll talk about it on Sunday night. So, but anyways, track facts, as always, are presented by Pirelli Motorsports. So the LaSalle International Circuit, obviously in LaSalle, Qatar, 57 laps this week. Track length is 3.343 miles. That's a mouthful there, which equates to 5.38 kilometers for our European folks. Tire selection, we're going with the hardest selection here, C1, C2, C3. The first time I feel like in a while that we've changed it up from the C2 to C4 middle range. So with the unknown characteristics and with some of the, characteristics of just being in the desert and, in the nature of this track, we're going with the hardest compounds this week. So that'll be interesting. Track characteristics, traction, you have a 3 out of 5, braking a 3 out of 5, lateral load, 5 out of 5. So that's a big one. Again, I think, lean maybe a little bit Red Bull there. Tire stress, 5 out of 5. Asphalt grip, 3 out of 5. Asphalt abrasion, 4 out of 5. It's going to chew up some tires. So again, Perez, Verstappen, Hamilton, you're probably going to see some pretty good, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage their tires. But, again, those are the best in the business. And then downforce, 4 out of 5. So again, that's still, even though it was a hell of a long, crazy straight, still there may not be that much of a difference there between Red Bull and Mercedes. Most wins of this track? Well, we've never been there before, so I don't know if you want to say Jorge Lorenzo, the Dr. Valentino Rossi, Casey Stoner, they all have, 4, 5, 6 victories at this track, depending on, the class. I think on the MotoGP side, I think Rossi and Stoner, I think, have the most within MotoGP. I think Lorenzo has the most overall across all the platforms there. So we don't know what's going to happen. We've never seen an F1 car around here. So, I don't know what to expect from a time standpoint. We're probably just going to throw some out there, but it'd be interesting. What is the circuit like? It's designed primarily, like we said, for motorcycle racing in mind. The LaSalle International Circuit is fast and flowing track, where medium and high-speed corners predominate. Over 1 kilometer of the track's total length is made up of the main straight. So again, it's crazy just how, it's a fifth of the track is basically that one straight, which provides plenty of overtaking opportunities going into turn one. Again, it certainly is on the MotoGP side. There's insane amounts of drafting that goes on during a MotoGP race here under the lights. It's a beautiful thing. I can guarantee you, though, worst case scenario is we have a beautiful race. I mean, under the lights, it's going to be LaSalle International is a beautiful track. It looks amazing under the lights. To see the sparks flying, the brakes glowing, the glistening of the helmets. I'm sure there's going to be some crazy helmets coming out this week. I think that, like I said, worst case scenario, we get a beautiful track and a beautiful race. I don't know what it's going to provide from an overtaking standpoint. Remember, we just signed a 10-year deal here, so I hope that it provides well. But again, we're going to have very, very, very different cars next year. So, you know, this track may actually favor that style car next year with the ability to kind of suck up and potentially overtake and kind of really stick with the driver in front of you. And not so much, hopefully not so much of that dirty air. So, you know, on paper with the current package, you know, looking at the track map, dirty air is probably going to be a factor here, to say the least. But again, you know, it's I think it's going to put on a pretty good show. And, you know, hopefully for all of our sakes, we don't have any one driver kind of running off with it. Hopefully it's a good show down to the wire. So anyways, that's about it for the night. Again, we may throw in some predictions that we'll talk about for the review episode. But with the others being out tonight, we'll leave that to the side tonight. So again, sorry you guys stuck with me. Hopefully it wasn't too terrible. I appreciate you guys giving all the support. It definitely means the world to us. It's been a crazy, I mean, to think we're 52 episodes in, you can imagine just how the time commitment on our side. So these things were bound to happen once in a while where schedules just didn't line up, with family and work commitments outside. So I'm glad we could still get an episode out. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We'll certainly be back Sunday night and stick with us. So I'll pull an Andy tonight in his honor, and I'll say, may all your laps be fast. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.